Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
So here's a confession that will come, I'm sure, as a tremendous surprise to almost all of you. I don't particularly like being told what to do. I must be terribly alone in that, I'm sure. No, I do not like being told what to do. I do not like having lots of rules. I feel a little bit like Dr. Seuss. I do not like it, Sam, I am. And so when I hear even this list of 10 or so things, I lose count sometimes because they're, you know, some of them are quite long. But when I hear this list of 10 or so things, which is there really anything we would object to on that list? These are not bad ideas. These are not, I hope, not too hard to follow. But when I hear this list of things, of shalls and shall nots, of things I'm being told what to do, I bristle a little bit at it, I admit. Even though, as I said, there's nothing I would disagree with and say, oh no, I really want to be allowed to bear false witness against my neighbor. It's not that, it's that sense of, I don't know, reducing life, reducing faith to a series of do's and don'ts. That's what seems wrong to me. That's what seems like, isn't there more to it than that? I think when we reduce our faith and our religion to just a set of check boxes and rules, that we are missing the point. That it certainly isn't that simple, and it certainly isn't just about what we do and what we don't do. I think we've stripped faith of its power when we make it about what we do and don't do, instead of make it about God. And so, as I've said, over the course of Lent, I see these scripture passages from the Hebrew Bible as taking us through different covenants, different promises, different agreements and relationship moments between God and humanity. How is this a promise? How is this a covenant and not a list of prohibitions? I think that the Ten Commandments, that the commandments of God, that the ordinances of faith, that the ways in which we are called to live out our faith are not prohibitions, are not rules and regulations. I think they are promises. I think they are, as I was saying to the children, like that cage that we put around the tomato, which is not to keep the tomato in, but to help it grow with strength. I think that the precepts of our faith, the things that we believe, the things that we teach, are structures meant to help us grow more faithfully. And a while ago, I came across reflections and commentaries and studies looking at the Ten Commandments and the other rules and regulations, if you will, of the faith in this way, as promises and not prohibitions. And about the same time, I came across, looking for something else, I came across this picture that I've kept and pulled out every so often when I reflect on that sense of not liking to being told what to do. This picture of a flower growing through a fence. Now, this fence is a fence. It's not a trellis. It's a chain link fence. It's pretty clearly a chain link fence. But this flower doesn't know that. This flower has taken what others might use as a barrier, what others might use as something to keep in or out, and has used it as a structure on which to grow and flourish. This flower has the right idea about being told what to do. It doesn't see the fence as keeping it on one side of a garden or another. It sees the fence, in as much as a flower sees a fence at all, as that which will help it grow stronger, reach higher, stand up a little bit taller, reach for the sun. That'll preach. A little bit, reach for the sun. What does it mean to hear, particularly the Ten Commandments, but to hear the Word of God as a promise? Those parts of the Bible that are instructive, those parts of the Bible that we read as prohibitions or rules. You shall not. You shall. Remember, do not. What if we begin to understand that God's communication to us is about who we are and who we are to become? What is possible for us to do and to be? And if we place before it not what Moses is telling the people of Israel, when you come into the land, the physical land that I'm giving you, here are the rules that you will follow. What if we hear it a little bit more generally than that? We do take these as general rules. What if we hear it a little bit more generally than that? When you live in my realm, says God, when you live in my reign, in my kingdom, this is my promise to you. When you are living as my people, truly living as my people, you will not kill. You won't. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not want anything that belongs to anybody else. Well, now that's a vision. And you will remember me as your God. You will keep holy my name. You will keep holy the Sabbath. You will rest when it is time to rest and work when it is time to work. You will be faithful people when you are living in my realm, in my shalom. Well, now, that's a little bit different, isn't it? That changes the way I think about these things. That changes the way I think about a lot of the Bible, in fact. Not telling me what to do, but telling me what I can do. Inspiring, inviting me to think more of myself as a child of God, to think of what I could become. And I think when we get a glimpse of what we can become, then we strive to become that. There's a wonderful blog, Facebook page exists in a bunch of formats called Humans of New York. There's even like a coffee table book that was put out a little bit earlier. I don't know if folks have seen that. But there's this young man, and he takes his camera mostly around New York, surprisingly. But he's traveled to some other places and done Humans of Palestine and Humans of Ferguson, a couple different places. And so this fellow goes out, and he takes pictures of people with their permission. And he also asks them questions, really good, insightful questions. I like the way this guy asks questions. He doesn't always post the questions. He posts people's responses to them. So you'll get a picture of a person that's a beautiful, wonderful, unique individual, and then a little quote under it that's the person's own words. Sometimes you know what they've been asked, sometimes not. Describing themselves in one way, answering a question that's been posed. So a few months ago, this photographer, this blogger, took a picture of a young man, a school-aged boy, and had clearly asked him, who in your life has influenced you? And this boy said, my principal is the greatest influence to me. Well, first, what a beautiful thing that a child says that his principal, his school principal, really? His high school principal is one of the most inspirational people in his lives. Well, a few days later, the picture was of that principal. Her name is Nadia Lopez, and she is the founder and principal of the Mott Hall Bridges Academy in Brooklyn, New York. And she has created this learning environment that has transformed the lives of the students that she serves in the community that she serves, a community and a group of students that are radically living in poverty, that are underprivileged, where there's a high crime rate, where there's a very low education, higher education rate, where people basically are not taught that they can do or be much, where the world around them teaches that it's kind of hopeless out there. She calls the people enrolled in her school not students. She calls them scholars. She encourages them to dress in the school color for pride. And she tells them all repeatedly, gives them cards, business cards, has them stand up one at a time in assemblies and tells them, you matter. You matter. Each and every one of the students in this high school, she tells personally, you matter. And you know what happens when you tell young people that they matter? Do you know what happens when you tell them that you have tremendous expectation for them? That they can be scholars? That they are scholars? Guess what? They perform better. They believe that. They believe that about themselves. And when you have a high expectation for someone, they strive to live into it. They want to be who she says they are, who she believes them to be. And so these students try harder and work harder and longer. They don't think it's cool to misbehave and get in trouble because they're scholars. They matter. Their behavior matters, their education matters, their goals in life matter. And these young people want to be the kind of people she says they are. For a very long time, even now, in lots of places and lots of traditions, Christianity has taught, now and again, that humanity is fundamentally depraved, that we are bad, sinful people in our core, that we need God, and I do believe we need God, but we need God because we are so bad, and we are so flawed, and we can't be good. And maybe it is hard, or maybe it is not natural for us to be kind and loving and good, but I think we want to be. And John Wesley, who's our founder of the movement of Methodism, John Wesley didn't truck with that. John Wesley didn't believe in the universal depravity of humanity. That was very popular in the Calvinist tradition, still is. Wesley said, no, nuh-uh. We can be made perfect in God's love. We can be made perfect in love, in this lifetime even. He says not many people do it, but we can. We can achieve perfection in love in this lifetime. I think John Wesley heard the word of God, heard the Ten Commandments, the other rules and regulations, not as descriptive of what we must and must not do, but as descriptive of what God promises we can do. When we think about it, when we think about humanity and we look at wars and rumors of war, we look at people being just horrible to each other, we are shocked, and rightly so. That affronts our sense of humanity. And yet sometimes we kind of throw our hands up in the air and say, well, what do you expect? What do you expect from a fallen world? What do you expect from people? People are mean. People are cruel. People are violent. Well, God expects us not to be. God expects something better of us. God expects that we are people who can we believe that? Who will live in love and peace and justice with one another and with God. And when we are living that way, we will remember God. We will honor our parents, our communities, one another, our relationships to each other. We will be faithful to one another and to God. We will not harm each other. We will not steal from one another or wish we had the things that somebody else had. We will be God's people of peace and justice and love and grace. It's a tremendous thing to try to believe that about humanity as a whole. We have no excuse. We can't just shrug our shoulders and say people will be people. People lie, people cheat, people steal, people kill. There's no excuse. Can we believe that about one another? That there is a way, there is a time, there is a place, there is a vision that God has for us where we will not. Do we dare to believe that about humanity as a whole? And more, do we dare to believe that about ourselves? That we will be holy people. We will be people of love and grace and justice and peace. Can we believe that we are who God says we can be? Because you matter. You matter. Each of us, a scholar, a student, a minister of God, each of us, do we dare believe it? Amen.